This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wasalamu ala rasulillah, ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. So, inshallah, we'll go over the chapter on the impact of the number of divorces and other matters. باب ما يختلف به عدد الطلاق وغيره. And before we talk about this and we talk about, the different types of divorce, when it comes to the number of divorces, why is it important to discuss this in the first place? It is important because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to limit the number of divorces, wanted to limit the number of basically attempts at restoring the marriage. During the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, men had the ability to restore the marriage and take back their wives indefinitely. So they would divorce them, take them back, divorce them, take them back, and keep on doing this, and the woman would be in limbo for the rest of her life or for an extended period of time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to limit this to 3 divorces. After the 3rd divorce, he cannot take her back. It is basically giving them 3 opportunities, and if they were unable to have marital harmony, then in this case, Allah wanted to say to them, there may be life outside of this marriage. And sometimes people get locked into particular relationships that are toxic relationships, and they fear from the unknown, and they fear from moving away from a partner that has been particularly harmful to their well-being. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if you have tried 3 times and you are unable to have harmony, then you should basically move on. So that is why it's consequential. Since the 3rd divorce is called finalized without recourse, meaning that the husband cannot take his wife back, he cannot even remarry her with her own consent until she gets married to another person and separates from that other person, genuinely gets married to another person and separates from them. So Imam Ibn Qudama will start this chapter here by saying, المرأة إذا لم يدخل بها تبينها الطلقة وتحرمها الثلاث. إذا لم يدخل بها or إذا لم يدخل بها, both would be correct. تبينها الطلقة وتحرمها الثلاث من الحر والاثنتان من العبد. إذا وقعت مجموعة كقوله أنت طالق ثلاثا أو أنت طالق وطالق وطالق. A woman with whom marriage was not consummated shall have a finalized divorce by a single pronouncement. Composite 3-fold divorce from the free man and 2-fold from the slave shall make her unmarriageable for him. For example, if he says you are divorced 3 times, or if he says you are divorced and divorced and divorced. The idea here is there is divorce before and after consummation. Consummation of marriage. Before and after consummation. Before consummation of marriage, the man may say to her, you are divorced. And that's it, just you are divorced. What does that do? It makes the divorce finalized, but with recourse. With recourse. If he says to her, you are divorced, a 3-fold divorce, that is in one pronouncement, that makes the divorce finalized without recourse, because it is a 3-fold divorce.
But you said that she doesn't get the second and the third don't affect her, right?
Before the consummation, the second and the third, if they were simultaneous with the first,
well count, and she well have been unmarriageable to him, if they are in one pronouncement, when is it that the second and the third will not count? If he says to her, anti talik, anti talik, anti talik, you are divorced, you are divorced, you are divorced. The first anti talik made her what? Finalized. The second anti talik will not count, because how could you divorce a woman whose divorce has been finalized? Keep in mind that according to the four mazahib and the vast majority, if the divorce was unfinalized, she's raja'iyya, he can take her back, this second divorce will count, and the third divorce will count. As we said before, according to Imam Ibn Taymiyyah, it will not count whether she is raja'iyya or not. But if she is, if it is before consummation, if it is before consummation, and he says to her, "You are divorced," she is now finalized. Certainly, a second divorce will not count. What if he, instead of saying anti-talik, 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 he said to her, "You anti-talik bis-thalath, you are divorced, a threefold divorce. It is finalized without recourse." What if he, instead of saying anti-talik, anti-talik, he said wa anti-talik, wa, or anti-talik wa talik? وطالق أنت طالق وطالق وطالق and means what? At the same time, simultaneously. All of them will count against him, and it will be three. If he says أنت طالق ثم طالق then طالق ثم طالق, it will be one or two or three.
One.
Because ثم does not mean, it's not like and, it's not simultaneously. So this is an important distinction between divorce before consummation and after consummation. Before consummation, you only have one divorce to make her finalized. If that the number of divorces were not simultaneous in the same pronouncement, the second and the third will not count. If the number of divorces were simultaneous in the same pronouncement, the second and the third will count, and in this case it will be finalized without recourse.
Okay, so that's why he started by the unconsummated marriage to get it out of the way. But he will still talk about, he's still talking about the unconsummated marriage in the next paragraph. He says, وَإِنْ أَوْقَعَهُ مُرَتَّبًا كَقَوْلِهِ أَنْتِ طَالِقٌ فَطَالِقٌ أَوْ ثُمَّ طَالِقٌ أَوْ طَالِقٌ بَلْ طَالِقٌ أَوْ أَنْتِ طَالِقٌ أَنْتِ طَالِقٌ أو إن طلقتك فأنت طالق ثم طلقها أو كلما طلقتك فأنت طالق أو كلما لم أطلقك فأنت طالق وأشبه هذا لم يقع بها إلا واحدة. If he pronounces it in succession, such as when he says you're divorced, then divorced, then divorced, or you are divorced, you are divorced, or if I divorce you, then you are divorced, or every time I divorce you, you become divorced, or every time I don't divorce you, you become divorced, and the like, only one divorce will count. And I understand that you're laughing. It is not the fault of the scholars, as I reminded you so many times. It is the fault of the people who came up with this other nonsense. and the scholars had to respond to the nonsense that was generated by sort of the perverted people. Okay. So this is clear. Now then he says, وَإِنْ كَانَتْ مَدْخُولًا بِهَا وَقَعَ بِهَا جَمِيعًا مَا أَوْقَاهُ. If her marriage was consummated, then all the divorces he pronounces will take effect. All the divorces he pronounces will take effect. Why? Because according to the majority, when she is raja'iyya, meaning that the divorce is unfinalized, when is she raja'iyya? She is raja'iyya if the marriage was consummated, and this is the first or the second divorce without, that is given by the husband, without being legally enforced and without compensation, and it is a talaq, not a fasch, not sort of annulment. Okay? So that is when she becomes raja'iyya. We have, it has to be consummated, because if it is not consummated, then it is not, she is not raja'iyya. It has to be first or second, no compensation, no legal enforcement. Basically, if it is a court-issued talaq, it is not raja'i, because, you know, the court does not just want to play with him, you know, force the talaq on him, and then he takes her back. And if it is for compensation, certainly, like, she would not give him his mahr back and then tell her, you know, I'm taking you back. That doesn't make sense. And it has to be the first or second, and it must be consummated, because if it is not consummated, then... And all of this, we're talking about talaq, not fasq. And fasq is what? Annulment. Annulment. Annulment, basically, you will annul the contract itself. It is not like the contract was valid, and now you are ending, terminating the contract. This is not a termination of a valid contract. This is invalidation of the contract to begin with. And we talked about fasq before, and we talked about some of the things that would warrant it. Okay, so now, if she is raja'iyya, according to the majority, and it is the vast majority, and it is the agreement of the four mazahib, if she is raja'iyya, meaning he can take her back, she is subject to more talaqs, to a number of divorces. And as we said before, Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah had this position, because it is not clear in the scriptures. So Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah had this position that a woman who is divorced is not subject to more divorces. Once she is divorced, she's not subject to more divorces until he takes her back. So between every talaq and the next talaq, there has to be restoration. Otherwise, she is divorced and she's not subject to more divorces. So it has to be talaq and then raja'. Talaq and then raja'. And then talaq. And then after that, that's it. No raja'. So if he, you know, before the raja'a to him, you know, you can't have talaq, talaq, raja'a. That second talaq will not count. She's not. So to him, and this is, like I said, just to be honest, is a splinter minority position, a very small sort of minority position. Some of the contemporary scholars, many of the contemporary scholars, or some of the contemporary scholars, actually accept that position, because it
It does make sense to a great extent. It agrees with the, sort of the apparent implications of the Quran and the objectives of the legislator. Because the objective here is three opportunities. So, you know, talaq, talaq, talaq is not three opportunities. Talaq, raja'a, talaq, raja'a, talaq would be three opportunities. But anyway, the agreement of the form of Zahab, as we said before, is that you can have talaq, talaq, talaq for someone who has been, who had her marriage consummated, not for someone who did not have her marriage consummated. So that is the position that Imam ibn Qudama cites here. And this is the Hanbali position, and this is also the agreement of the four mazahib. When كانت مدخولا بها وقع بها جميع ما أوقعه. If her marriage was consummated, then all the divorces he pronounces will take effect. You don't need more than three, of course. Sometimes you say divorce the number of stars, and you know, or the, well, anything that's more than three is just like nonsense. ومن شك في الطلاق أو في الطلاق أو عدده أو الرضاع أو عدده بنى على اليقين. Whoever doubts the occurrence of divorce or its number or the number of breastfeedings should assume only what is certain. Should assume only what is certain, because we have the that, you know, اليقين لا يزول بالشك, الشك لا يزحم اليقين. Different expressions of the same principle, which is that doubt does not contend with certainty, doubt does not remove certainty, certainty is not removed by doubt, etc., etc. So this applies not only in talaq, but also in rada. So if she doubted whether she fed the baby four times or five, and certainly there is the number of breastfeedings that will make a baby unmarriageable is controversial between the mazahib. If you go by the Shafi'i and Hanbali position of the five breastfeedings, and now she doubted whether she breastfed four or five times, is he unmarriageable? No, he's not unmarriageable, because she's doubting the fifth breastfeeding. So, tabni ala al-yaqeen, meaning you assume what is certain. What is certain here, four or five?
Four.
The lower number is always the certain number. Okay. وَإِمْ قَالَ لِنِسَائِهِ إِحْدَكُنَّ طَالِقْ وَلَمْ يَنْوِي وَاحِدَةً بِعَيْنِهَا أُخْرِجَتْ بِالْقُرْعَةِ. If he says to his wives, one of you is divorced and he doesn't intend a particular one, she will be appointed by casting lots. Now, there are two ways to teach fiqh, is basically to skip over things that make people uncomfortable, and I don't believe in this way, because I believe that the people should be exposed to our sort of tradition without sterilization, you know, without basically, you know, cutting out any part, except things that are completely irrelevant to our times. They would be discussed, but not in fiqh, but rather in apologetics or some other discussion. Like slavery, for instance. So that's why I removed the sort of the discussions on slavery. I don't translate them. I keep the Arabic, but I don't translate them, because there is nothing practical that needs to be known here. But in general, I like to, you know, full exposure to the tradition, and then we try to understand the tradition, because what I heard from one of the nurses one time, she said that her grandmother used to be very religious, churchgoer, very religious, throughout her life until she read the Bible. And that's when she lost her faith. So the idea here of having selected readings is problematic. It may save you a lot of sort of anguish early on, up front, but eventually when people stumble on what you have hidden from them, it will be a crisis, you know, and how many people really out there that are committed Christians have read the Bible cover to cover?
not that many. So that was like a very interesting sort of disclosure. You know, she was religious throughout her life until she read the Bible. Anyway, the Sheikh here says, وَإِنْقَالَ نِسَائِهِ إِحْدَكُنَّ طَالِقُ وَلَمْ يَنْوِ وَحْدَةً بِعَيْنِهَا أُخْرِجَتْ بِالْقُرْعَةِ. If he says to his wives, one of you is divorced, then he does not intend a particular one. She will be appointed by casting lots. Now, why? Because there, you know, why are the Hanbalis saying this? Because this is a Hanbali position. Why are the Hanbalis saying this? Because they want it to be fair. They just said that if he did not intend a particular one, it would be unfair to designate one without sort of without him intending her at the time of divorce. So casting lots would be the fair way to do it. The Maliki said all of them will become divorced. And the Hanafis and Shafi'is, and that's another report in the Hanbali Madhab as well, they said he would have to choose one to divorce. Now, when you find a lot of controversy, it means what? It means there is nothing that is traceable to the Prophet ﷺ and definitive. Always, when you find a lot of controversy, what should come to your mind is that we don't have something traceable to the Prophet ﷺ that is definitive. If we have something traceable to the Prophet ﷺ that is definitive, you will likely not have controversy. Then, the Sheikh said, وَإِنْ طَلَّقَ جُزْءًا مِنْ أَمْرَأَتِهِ مُشَاعًا أَوْ مُعَيَّنًا كَإِصْبَعِهَا أَوْ يَدِهَا طَلُقَتْ كُلُّهَا إِلَّا الظُّفْرَ وَالسِّنَّ وَالشَّعْرَ وَالرِّيقَ وَالدَّمْعَ وَنَحْوَهُ لَا تَطْلُقْ بِهِ. If he divorces a part of his wife, whether or not the part is specifically intended, such as her finger or hand, she becomes divorced except for the nails, teeth, saliva, tears, and they're like, divorcing those does not result in her divorce. Well, because people used to do this, and they would, you would say, for instance, I divorce your ear. I divorce your hand. I divorce your little toe, big toe. So what does that all mean? It means I divorce you, because of talaq la yatajazza. You can't sort of fragment it. You can't break it down. So it, any talaq will be a talaq of any part of her will count as talaq, except to the parts that are not integral to her being. And these are, you know, if you lose a tooth, you know, it's not an integral part of you. Nail, hair, secretions also, stuff like that. Or even if you say, in the Hanbali method, if you say, طَلَّقْتُ روحك, you know, I divorce your soul, they don't count this as a talaq. But if you say, طَلَّقْتَ حَيَاتِكَ, I divorce your life, they count this. And certainly some of these things could be controversial as well. And, you know, these things are not traceable to the Prophet. People come up with things, you know. So every time a judge, keep in mind that these scholars used to be judges as well, or many of them were judges as well, or they had to entertain the questions that came to them from the judges. So the judge would tell them, so someone came to me here, and he had divorced his wife's spit. Or so what do I do? So they have to come up with an answer, and then for the future, to basically spare themselves, you know, the trouble, they would include the answer so that the judges read this and they don't have to go back all the time and text them at 2 o'clock in the morning. No. Whatever, I can't get in the minds of those people because it's, you know, these are certainly nonsensical types of divorces. So when people make no sense, you really can't rationalize because they just make no sense. You just get in the mind of someone who's completely irrational. Then he said, وَإِنْ قَالَ أَنْتِ طَالِقْ نِصْفَ تَطْلِيقَ أَوْ أَقَلَّ مِنْ هَذَا طَلُقَتْ وَاحِدًا. If he says you are divorced by half of a divorce or less than that, she becomes divorced once. So he says to her, you know, you are divorced one third of a divorce, one quarter of a divorce, one eighth of a divorce. She becomes divorced once. And then there are all kinds of possibilities there. If he says to his wives, for instance, he has four wives, and he says to four wives, you are, I give you, or بَيْنَكُنَّ خَمْسُ طَلَقَاتٍ, or, you know, I give you, or divide between you five divorces. Then how many times is each one divorced?
One and a quarter.
Two.
No way.
Because the quarter would count as one.
Really?
We said we don't count quarters. Two, because the quarter would count as one.
For one or for all of them? Two.
Because each one of them will have one and a quarter. So we said the quarter does not count, counts as one, so each one of them will have two. Yeah. And things of that nature. And keep in mind that these used to be monumental rulings, because like someone could really be married to four wives, and then he could say to them anything like this, or he can give them like a threefold composite divorce, all of them. You know how devastating that is for that person? And then they would come, and then the judge would actually validate it. And then all of his four wives are now divorced, and divorced and unmarriageable, sometimes because of the composite divorces. So that brings us to the end of, because keep in mind that all of these would be under divorce in jest. And divorce in jest, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تَتَّخِذُوا آيَاتِ اللَّهِ هُزُوًا, and do not take the ayat of Allah. Ayat is hard to, it's not the verses, not the signs, it's both and more than this. Proofs versus signs and everything. Don't take them in jest. And if you do, Prophet ﷺ said, ثَلَاثٌ أَجِدُّهُنَّ جِدُّ هَزْلُهُنَّ جِدَّ النِّكَاحُ وَالطَّلَاقُ وَالرَّجَعُ. Three things, whether you do them seriously or in jest, they will be serious, or they will be deemed serious, marriage, divorce, and restoration of marriage. And in some reports, al-itaq, emancipation as well. So because of this, and to try to sort of wean people from this misbehavior, the scholars were very strict in enforcing these kinds of talaqs. So I'll stop here. We'll take like 5 minutes, a little of a break, and we'll come back to the chapter of الرجعة, or the restoration of the marriage. قل قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم.